Carrie Ebert is a pediatric speech-language pathologist. She's an early intervention and apraxia specialist, an autism mom, and an author. She's dedicated her life to helping kids be as successful as possible, and she'll be conducting a seminar Friday in Bemidji. It's called Wired Kids, and in it, she'll be talking about appropriate use for technology for young children, and Carrie Ebert is with us now. Good morning, Carrie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, thank you. What do you do in your work as an early intervention specialist? We'll start there.
Well, yeah. So as a speech-language pathologist, I specialize in the birth to three population. So we're really in early intervention focusing on helping young children with identified delays or disabilities, really supporting their families so that they can help their child learn and develop and gain the skills to be able to be as ready for school as possible. And so every state has an early intervention program, a birth to three program, if you will. And I live and work in the state of Missouri, and I am also a professional speaker. And so I travel all over the country helping early intervention programs and school districts with different issues related to early child development.
I'm just kind of curious, no matter what state you're in, if you have a child, is this something, as a parent, if I thought my child needed some help, would I just call my county or my school district?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you don't need a doctor's referral. Every state, by law, has to have a birth to three program, and parents can self-refer to the early intervention program. Every state is set up a little differently about how you make that referral, but if you Google, Minnesota birth to three program, you should be able to find, your early intervention point of contact, if you will, to be able to self-refer. One of the things that I'm a real big proponent of is parents are the experts on their child. And so if a parent, let's say they have an 18 or a 20-month-old, and let's just say that child isn't talking maybe as much as the other siblings were, or the parent is just really concerned about development in general, sometimes what the parent does is they go to the pediatrician and say, I'm really worried. And sometimes the pediatrician says, well, let's just wait and see. Let's just give him 6 months and see how he's doing in 6 months. And those of us in early intervention are very much opposed to the wait and see approach. Our position is that earlier is always better. And so my favorite hashtag on social media is hashtag let's just see. I would much rather the pediatrician make the referral to the early intervention program and then let those of us who specialize in the development of very young children decide whether there is reason to be concerned or not. So we're big proponents of earlier is better.
I love that. What is an apraxia specialist?
Well, apraxia is a very specific neurological disorder that makes it difficult for kids to motor plan the movements necessary to learn to talk. So it's a speech sound disorder. The kids know exactly what they want to say, but they can't motor plan the movement. So basically the brain says speak, but the mouth doesn't respond. And so those of us who specialize in apraxia, we have very specific motor planning approach to speech therapy that we use to help these kids find their voice.
Wow. We're talking with Carrie Ebert this morning. She's going to be in Bemidji later this week conducting a seminar called Wired Kids. It's in conjunction with the Bemidji Early Childhood Collaborative. And we see young kids, babies even, with their eyes on screens nowadays, without even considering the content that they're taking in. Mm-hmm. What at a physiological level, how are screens affecting our babies' brains?
Oh, it's so important that we get this message out there. Just you had mentioned that, even young babies are in front of a screen. We know that the average age at which a baby is placed in front of a screen today is about 3 months of age. And that's very concerning to those of us, working with very young children. I've been a speech-language pathologist for 25 years now, and I am telling you, we are seeing the landscape of play change in an unprecedented manner. And because of the excessive screen time in young children. And the biggest change that I have seen has come since 2010, and that is the year the iPad was released. Mm-hmm. And it seems as though childhood has changed substantially since the iPad, and then after that, came, you know, smartphones came out before then, but they weren't very prevalent. You know, we still all had flip phones, and it's back in the day when we just used phones really for just phones. You know, now our phones are, you know, very smart and do lots of things. And so we are seeing young children in front of a screen from infant on up. So what's happening is kids are spending more and more time indoors, sedentary in front of a screen. And so what we really have to think about, and one of the things I'll be talking about on Friday, is what is screen time displacing? And that is, we call that displacement theory. And that is one of the biggest concerns that we have, because when we consider how young children learn best, young children learn best through play-based movement. And that is the number one key. And on social media, that is something that I am very passionate about, is when a child has some struggling behaviors or, you know, is really having a difficult day, I ask the family, how much play-based movement has your child had today? Because we know that when you're sitting in front of a screen, you're definitely not moving, right? It's really difficult to move and be in front of a screen. So when we look at what screen time is displacing, I think this is, you know, has to be one of the biggest topics that we examine. So screen time is displacing face-to-face interactions. So what my concern is we're getting young children who almost have autistic-like characteristics. Screen time cannot cause autism. I'm not saying that it can, but I'm saying we have these kids with really poor eye contact. They're not responding to their name being called. They're in their own world because they're glued to the screen. So what we're finding is when we put the screen away and start working on face-to-face interactions with these very young children, all of a sudden we realize, oh, he's not on the autism spectrum. So the face-to-face interactions and establishing joint attention, you know, that's a really key component of early child development. Something else screen time is displacing is that play-based movement. Kids aren't rolling and crawling and walking and climbing and running and jumping and digging and swinging and sliding. You can't do those things when you're in front of a screen. It's displacing gross and fine motor types of play. Kids aren't playing with toys as much anymore. It certainly is affecting a young child's ability to wait. And I am telling you that waiting is a life skill. And when young kids don't learn to wait, to be patient, they get very unhappy very quickly when, you know, forced to do so. Life is filled with the need to wait. High-tech play, screen time is displacing outdoor play. And we have research that shows that when a child is in front of a screen, even if the parent is in the room, the parent and the child don't interact that much. So it's reducing parent-child interactions as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And well, Maggie and I were talking earlier about back in the day, we used to get worried about just sitting in front of the television, which was very...
And that's, you remember, those are the days when that's all there was. There was TV, and we only had a few stations. And so I remember, you know, you'd come home from school and you'd like watch an episode of, I don't know, Leave It to Beaver, or, you know, Brady Bunch or Gilligan's Island. Like, those are my memories. But you'd, you know, have a snack, watch a half hour of TV. And then where did we want to go? We wanted to go outside and play, right? And I grew up in an era where play was more about who you were with. Play wasn't about material objects. I don't remember growing up with tons of store-bought toys, but I remember childhood and playtime being about being outdoors and just going and finding kids in the neighborhood to play with. So play used to be a social, you know, concept. And it seems like today when we talk about play, you know, everybody wants to talk about, oh, well, I bought this toy and I got him this toy. And just as a side note, and I'll try not to get on the soapbox too much, but one of my biggest concerns is our society today is so obsessed with force-feeding letters, numbers, shapes, and colors to very young children as if those were the most important concepts in life. And as a speech therapist, my concern is, okay, if I have this two-year-old and everybody's concerned because he's not talking much, and I evaluate him, and this two-year-old only says five words, and his five words are blue, green, four, S, an octagon. You know, how in the world is he going to communicate basic wants and needs when all he has is letters, numbers, shapes, and colors? So my big push is for parents to stop force feeding early academics and start focusing on powerful words, on social communication, you know, on being able to request, I want milk, I want a cookie, will you play with me? You know, I want a cracker, I want to play outside. You know, we really need functional language instead of force feeding letters, numbers, shapes, and colors.
Right. So that just reminded me, I'll hear parents say, use your words, tell me how you're feeling, looking at a tiny, tiny person, and the babe, the child is looking at them like, I don't have those words.
Exactly. And so one of my things is, you know, I'm not a big fan of the use your words. What I try to coach parents on is say the words you wish your child would say in that moment and become a good model, but don't tell your child to say words. Say ball, say please, say more, say thank you, say hi. That really creates prompt dependency where kids only talk when instructed specifically what to say. So if I see a young child, you know, pulling on the mom's shirt and clearly the child wants to be picked up, you know, they're tugging and whining, I would just model the words, up, mama, and the child will often look at me and I'll repeat it again, up, mama. And if the child can imitate those words, fabulous. But if not, I have become the child's voice and given him or her the words necessary to be able to prevent a meltdown, right, to be able to prevent frustration. And so that's one of the strategies that I coach parents on.
Excellent. I'm talking with Carrie Ebert. She's going to be in Bemidji Friday conducting the Wired Kids Seminar in conjunction with the Early Childhood Collaborative in Bemidji. What are you going to be talking about Friday?
Oh, I'm so excited. So yes, this is a course on how screen time affects early child development. And so what we're really going to talk about is, and this is one of my big points, is that screen time itself is not inherently bad. It's how it's used, the context that it's used, how much it's used. And when we're talking about very young children with developing brains and bodies, we have to understand that those young children learn best through interactions with the important people in their life. I call it relationship-based learning. So we're going to talk about the difference between relationship-based learning and screen-based learning, because screen-based learning is all input. The child doesn't have to have any output. And it's really hard to develop functional communication skills if the child doesn't have to, you know, give any output. So we're going to be really talking about how technology has changed the landscape of play. We're going to talk about how excessive screen time can affect the development of language, play, and motor skills. We're going to talk about this concept of educational media. People often justify the increase in screen time in young children because they say, but it's educational. It's going to get them ready for school. So we're going to talk about what makes media educational. We're also going to really talk about how screen time affects social-emotional development. You know, this whole idea of mental health issues, it begins in early childhood. And those early interactions with caregivers, with educators, with parents, that is a critical piece. And then we're going to end on a really, you know, positive note and really talk about ways to help families establish healthy screen time habits at home. Because it is unrealistic to say, no screen time, just don't do it. We live in the digital age and, you know, technology is not going anywhere. So I really want to empower providers who work with families to be able to establish healthy screen time habits at home by establishing a family media plan. And that is what the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends, that we create a family media plan within every family. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about on Friday.
Sounds like a great day. That is Carrie Ebert. Thank you so much, Carrie, for being on the show this morning and sharing your knowledge with us and our listeners.
You bet. Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. For more information about the Early Childhood Collaborative Workshop and Seminar Friday, connect with the Bemidji Early Childhood Collaborative by emailing BemidjiECC@gmail.com, or you can go to Eventbrite and look for Wired Kids for the Wired Kids event. Area Voices is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.